I just finished listening to both your Wednesday broadcasts. All I can say is, praise the Lord, you are teaching the truth. Your show reminded me of my past and a Bible teacher I once greatly admired. I haven't heard her teach for about 10 years, and so out of curiosity, I was real interested. It only took me a few minutes, though, to hear her teaching false doctrine and reminded me of my soul's past struggle with guilt and self-righteousness. That's a letter that we got from Laura over there on the West Coast, I believe in the state of Washington. And it is a typical letter that we're receiving here on AM 850 KFUO because of the talk radio show format that we are now working with, where from morning to evening, you can listen to good theology. I'm Tom Baker. You are listening to Hopefully Good Theology on this Friday, March the 9th, 2007. And it is a special day because today is Open Line, an opportunity for you to phone in if you have any questions at all on any subject. This past week, of course, we dealt with a number of issues. On Monday, we talked about the renaming of the parables. On Tuesday, we looked at Sunday's assigned readings and also the hymn for the day coming up. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, we got into a discussion on the bones of Jesus Christ and how a Christian ought to take a look at that. And we also spoke about Josh McDowell's book and somewhat criticized it as it had attempted to find evidence for our faith. If you would like to phone in then on any of those subjects or anything else you might have on your mind, phone number in St. Louis is 505-7850. And of course, toll free is 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is lawgospel@kfuo.org. Now, we have a real volume of letters here over the email that we can respond to, and that's what we'll be doing in between any of you folks talking or phoning in. The first one I want to look at is to acknowledge that Laura is typical in reacting to what she once believed and what she is now hearing in regard to Reformation theology. I may note that one of the best programs of Issues Etc. this past week was on the first hour on Tuesday, and I would encourage you to download that program because they were talking to a former member of evangelical type of thinking. And when I talk about evangelical Christianity, I'm not talking about the Reformation form of evangelical. They were called evangelicals, and many Lutheran churches, in fact, had the word evangelical in their name. Our congregation was St. James Evangelical Lutheran Church, coming from the Greek word euangelion, meaning gospel. In fact, the Roman Catholics disparaged the Lutherans by referring to us as evangelicals. However, we like the term because we believe the gospel alone is what saves, and that points to faith alone, not by works. Now, what's interesting is it's kind of dangerous to listen to AM 850 KFUO because pretty soon you're going to start agreeing with what is being said here because it is so biblical. And you're not going to be aware that perhaps in past times when you were affiliated with an evangelical church, and when I mean evangelical, I'm referring to decision theology. And you're not going to realize how really different are the two ways of thinking about God, Jesus Christ, salvation, and the place of works in one's salvation. So it's not at all unusual to get a letter like Laura's, who then goes on to say that, I really admired this teacher, and I went back to listen to some of her broadcasts, and all of a sudden, I started hearing all kinds of false teaching. So she encourages me perhaps to even listen, gave me the website to take a look at it, which I might have some time to do, and share with you once more how so many people simply don't get the Christian message. Now, they think they do, but I'll tell you why I really believe they don't think they do. Most evangelicals do not agree with Roman Catholic theology. And if you ask an evangelical what you are preaching, where did it come from, they will mainly say from the Reformation. Now, what they don't realize is a lot of what they are teaching in regard to decision theology is a direct contradiction to the reformers at the time of the Reformation and agreement with what the Roman Catholic Church was teaching at that time. The Roman Catholic Church talks about a prevenient grace. That's from two Latin words, before and venire, to come. It's a grace that comes to a person because they are actually doing some outwardly good works. And if they keep doing them, there are actually some Roman Catholics. In fact, the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church today teaches that a outwardly moral Muslim or Jew can be saved without ever hearing of the message of Jesus Christ. You see, the reformers disagreed that we were saved by faith plus works. The Roman Catholics and many evangelicals today simply do not understand what the reformers were saying. The Roman Catholics know what they were saying and disagree with it. Unfortunately, many evangelicals are unaware of what the reformers were saying, and they think they're in agreement with the reformers. But let's analyze for a moment this concept against faith plus works. The reason it is so hard for people to accept is they think that what we are saying is all you have to do is believe, and it doesn't matter what your works are. Now, you see, that notion is false teaching. So they think they can counteract the notion that the reformers were teaching that faith alone doesn't include any works by saying, no, you're saved by faith plus works. Works have to be there. Well, let me give a simple analogy, and I've done this before in other contexts, to show you that works do not have to be there. You take a look at your child who comes into your house one day. He just was at school and they heard about children who were adopted rather than born into the family. And he comes in and he wants to know, am I really your child or am I an adopted child? And he really is a begotten child. And so you look at him and you ask him, well, what makes you think that you were not born into the family? And he says, well, you know, sometimes I don't like what you and mom say and I disobey. And I'm wondering, maybe if I'd been born into the family, I would always obey you. Whereas right now I'm acting like an adopted child. And then you look at him and say, no, Tommy, let me tell you that you are our child because you were born into our family and your works don't count at all. Now, there's a good example where a child is assured that they are a child by being born alone. Yet if you ask, what kind of life does a child who lives in that family have? Well, he was born and he does the works of the family. You see, works are part of his new life as a born child. They just have nothing to do with him being the child. In the same way, the reason you are a child of God is through faith in Jesus Christ, apart from any works at all. But that doesn't mean that you jump to the conclusion that what counts is you have faith, and therefore there are no works at all. That is illogical. Well, we believe, teach, and confess that faith saves without works, but never is there a time where faith doesn't have works. In the same way, being born into the family is all that is needed to be a child of the family, but it never is by itself. When you're born into the family, works begin immediately. You take the food which is offered to you as an infant. You wear the clothes which you are dressed in. You sleep in the bed. These are all works that spontaneously happen that have nothing to do with your becoming the child, but have everything to do in regard to what are the benefits of being a child. So maybe this is the way to look at it. The Bible teaches we are saved by faith alone. Yet, there are tremendous benefits when one becomes a believer. And one of them is the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to do good works. I'm Tom Baker. You are listening to Law and Gospel here on AM 850 KFUO. Our phone number is being 505-7850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727 with an in-studio email at lawgospel@kfuo.org. We're going to go and talk to Phil, who's on a cell phone. Hi, Phil.
Hello.
How can I help you?
Yesterday, the thing with Josh McDowell, that really helped me a lot because I love finding out about evidence outside of the Bible. But I know that it's hearing the word that creates faith in someone. But there's this video that I first seen Josh McDowell on. It's called the Jesus video. And on there, not only him, but a lot of different professional people are they're talking about evidence outside of the Bible. But one in particular, a lady, she is a she was a lawyer, she said, and she rejected Christ. She said, I rejected the Bible because she said, I didn't know of any evidence outside of the Bible that there was even a God. And she said that type of teaching helped her to get rid of all those notions that there wasn't a God. For instance, the question I want to ask you is, do you think it has a place in a person that is rejecting based on maybe they're trying to intelligently, you know, figure out there is no God? Because intelligent design, you know, that does help you in one way see that there is a God. Like archaeology. She said she rejected the fact that there was a Sodom and Gomorrah, and now archaeology, you know, they found two cities that was burned up, and it looked like maybe Sodom and Gomorrah. They also found other evidence in archaeology. She said she read a Josephus and seen some evidence there. So do you think it has its place in someone that already has faith but is rejecting it?
You want to stay on the line, Phil?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to be surprised at my answer. No.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Have you ever met a person who thought he was saved because he invited Christ into his heart?
Yes.
How does he think that he needs to get other people to get saved? By getting them to invite Christ into their heart, right?
That's right.
So here's the theory I have, that most people who are on the milk of the word think that they save others by the way that they thought they were saved. If you really analyze from God's point of view, this person who invited Christ into his heart, he really did not get saved in that way. He got saved because in the process of hearing, let's say, Billy Graham, who talks about inviting Christ into the heart, 80% of the sermons of Billy Graham is pure Bible teaching. Billy Graham believes that Jesus died on the cross, that your sins were forgiven. It's just wonderful teaching. Then at the end, he tells people to invite Christ into the heart, and that's the way they're saved. Now, I believe that that individual who then goes ahead and invites Christ into the heart, the only reason he does so is because Christ is already in his heart, which Billy Graham's word was used by the Holy Spirit to create faith. So he is in error that he became a Christian by inviting Christ into the heart. He really became a Christian by hearing the word of God. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, now let's move over to your lawyer friend. She is under the delusion that she came to faith because there was sufficient evidence to counteract her doubts. When if you would, and I never got to this yesterday, Josh McDowell's book, even though he thinks he's finding evidence for these things, you know what 60% of the book is? It's Bible verses, Phil. He, for example, I'll show you how strange this is. He tries and prove that Jesus rose from the dead. He's trying to give evidence. And you know what his proof is? The Bible says 500 people saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Now, the reason I'm laughing about that isn't evidence that's persuading anyone. That's the word of God that's being preached and proclaimed. In other words, if you sat down with that lawyer friend and you asked her these questions, you would ask her something along these lines. When you were hearing about this evidence, were there any Bible verses or were you ever told why Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? And she would say yes to that. I am convinced that it is those words of the gospel, which is the only means of grace, that converted her. She's under the delusion, like C.S. Lewis is, that because he was a real skeptic, he thinks he was persuaded by the evidence, when in reality, he was persuaded by the means of grace, that is the Word of God. So, in answer to your question, and let me just, I appreciate you letting me finish, because I'm going to give you some time when we're done here, Phil. Okay. In answer to your question, does this information about the evidences, is it helpful in converting someone? The answer I have is absolute no. However, is it still good information that we ought to know about? Because for some Christians, they become weak in the faith, and their old Adam has to be put down. And their old Adam is not put down by hearing the means of grace, but by being accused by the law. How can you believe something so silly as this? And therefore, when I hear these individuals give evidence why, for example, James Cameron's views on finding the body of Jesus are just ridiculous, people with an old Adam that got them to doubt are helped in that way. But it's not because the means of grace are being used. It's actually a law against them saying, how could you believe this stuff? Look at how silly it is. And then they become relieved. So I see a place for it, but it's not needed by Christians, and it's not needed by unbelievers to come to faith. That's my statement. Now, I'd like to hear your response.
Oh, no, I understand what you're saying, because when I first came to faith, I went to church because everything in my life was just bad. You know, because of my lifestyle, I lost my wife, I didn't have a job, I didn't have anything, and I came out of desperation. I said, well, church, you know, maybe I'll find something here. But all the way through, until I found KFUO, all the way through this, and I was even a Pentecostal preacher for a while, I thought every time that I even thought about something in the wrong manner, and I sinned, that if I died in that moment, I was going to hell. I had no comfort at all.
Yes.
You know, and it was miserable. I mean, really was miserable. And when I found KFUO, Don Matzett was very patient with me. And, you know, I was arguing with him all the time, but I say he was patient and would bring me back to the scripture. So I see what you're talking about. And then you have, in the Missouri Synod Lutheran, you have a pastor over in Dogtown that is a guest sometimes on the Bible study. He said he was a Jewish man. And I think he said something about a neighbor kept saying, you know, talk to him about Jesus. And he said he got so angry about it that he went to go prove to her that you know, Jesus wasn't the Messiah, and God created faith in him, you know, and now he's a Lutheran pastor, so.
Yes, I know who you're speaking of, I think, and yet if I sat down with him, I am convinced he will say that the real evidence that moved him was the Word of God.
Yes, that's what he said. Once he searched the Scriptures, and he's seen all, you know, the evidence in the Scriptures, God created faith in him, yes.
Okay, now see, that's different than using evidence and reason to create faith.
Yeah.
See, if you listen to Josh McDowell, and I've got the quotes right in front of me here, he, for example, when he looks at the Apostle Paul and sees the radical transformation of Paul, here's what he says. Many have found in the radical transformation of this Pharisee of the Pharisees the most convincing evidence of the truth and the power of the religion to which he was converted, as well as the ultimate worth and place of the person of Christ. Now, that's where I really draw the line. The conversion of Paul didn't move me at all to say, well, now Jesus is really worth something. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not Paul's conversion that is convincing evidence to me at all. It's the Word of God that says that the person of Christ is God and that he died and rose from the dead. The transformation of Paul helps me not at all to be more convinced than I'm already convinced. But if you're looking for trying to find in a court of law, how can you persuade a jury to say that these things are certain? Then you might say, well, the transformation of somebody makes a big difference. But my point is, the Muslims and the Mormons do a better job of transforming people from what they were to what they are now, and nobody says that's the validity of their truths, do we?
No.
You see, all this just falls apart when you start taking the principles of evidence and applying it to other religions. Nobody is going to say, well, Mormonism is really true because these people were willing to die for the faith. And look at, here was a person who was an alcoholic. He became a Mormon. Now he's not drinking anymore. He's nice to his family. He takes everybody to worship all the time. That must prove that Mormonism is true. Whoever makes that jump. So you see the distinction I'm trying to make. And I believe I'm being told, I think, by my producer, was that Pastor Parviz?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, yes. Yes, he's got some. Oh, I like listening to him because he brings Jewish insights into some of the Old Testament texts that just aren't obvious to those of us who have been Gentiles and not grown up in a Jewish background. So he is well worth listening to.
Yes, it is. And yesterday your program helped me. You know, I wouldn't even entertain some thoughts. They would come into my head, and I would just, you know, ignore it, trying to think maybe it was Satan messing with me. For instance, you know, thoughts in my head, what if somebody asked me, I was saying to myself, what if somebody asked me, you know, well, just because Jesus and John the Baptist was cousins and they could have planned all this, you know, and I wouldn't even entertain thoughts like that, you know, that all the only evidence is in the Bible, you know.
That's right.
And so that's why I would search for things outside so I could have a defense for that. But, you know, you helped me there yesterday, so I appreciate that. And I can entertain those thoughts, you know, and I can see how it. You know, it's by faith only.
That's right. It's absolutely by faith. And to me, to be able to have a defense for the faith, what does that say about the thickness of our skin? Can you imagine? I can't remember once Jesus defending the faith. Isn't that odd that I would say something like that? He proclaimed the word. And even when he gave evidence that he was the Messiah, it was always Bible verses. For example, the disciples of John the Baptist came to him and said, how do we know you're the Messiah? What he did, he didn't pick up something and change water into wine. He said, well, read Isaiah. The deaf hear, the blind see, the dead rise, etc., etc. You get my point, Phil?
Yes.
The
yes.
Word of God is powerful in and of itself, and that's all the evidence we really need to convert someone.
Yeah, we want to ignore the true miracles and look for the bigger ones.
Yes, because we're theologians of glory at heart, and we want people to be experiencing the way we thought we were experiencing the truth, when in reality it was being enlightened by the Holy Spirit who worked through the Word.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Boy, Phil has got perfect timing for the end of the first half of the hour. I'm Tom Baker. You are listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, March the 9th, 2007. If you'd like to call on this subject or any other, 505-7850, toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Stay with us through the break.
Next time on our 10:05 Bible study, we will continue in the book of Isaiah. We'll be in chapters 7 through 12, and our guest will be Pastor Ron Rohl of Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis. And then our Ask the Pastor program at 11:05 features Pastor Chuck Spomer of Ascension Lutheran Church. 2 hours of Bible study beginning at 10:05 on Monday.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
The Missouri Historical Society continues the Lunch and Learn series, a monthly film series at the Missouri History Museum at Lindell and DeBolivar in Forest Park. The screenings of the March installment of the Public Broadcasting Service's award-winning series People's Century features the film Half the People, an exploration of how 20th century women began to challenge discrimination on the basis of gender. That screening again is scheduled for Tuesday, March 13th at noon, at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Anger can be an intense and destructive emotion, but it's one that must be dealt with appropriately. Let's listen as my colleague Dr. James Dobson explains.
Anger which is really the end result of conflict, is not just emotional in nature, it's biochemical. Mm-hmm. There are changes in your body when you get angry. There are, of course, the hormones that are released, adrenaline and others. Your heartbeat accelerates, your blood pressure goes up, your eyes dilate, and you're ready for the fight or flight mechanism. You know, you got to do something with that.
When teaching your kids how to deal with their anger, remember that they take their cues from you. Model a calm response if possible and give them an example to live up to. Research shows that learning new behaviors takes a minimum of 21 days of repetition. So it'll take more than one experience to really sink in. For more information on raising healthy, happy kids, go to focusonyourchild.com.
AM 850 KFUO is grateful for those of you who support our radio ministry. Today, we say thank you to Adele Borchers of Maplewood, Missouri, Ann Sable of St. Louis, Missouri, and Brian Rayborn of Kaukauna, Wisconsin. Your support helps make the programming on AM 850 KFUO possible.
It is no accident that this music has stood the test of time, reaching countless souls with its meaningful message of hope and redemption. And soon you can hear it again in all its glorious splendor.
Hallelujah.
Sunday, March 18th at 6:30 p.m., the Bach Society of St. Louis, along with four outstanding soloists, will present parts 2 and 3 of Handel's immortal oratorio, Messiah, in the beautiful St. Francis Xavier College Church, Grand and Lindell, in St. Louis. This is music director Dennis Squagger, and I want to invite you to this magnificent experience. Call 652-BACH or visit bachsociety.org. That's Sunday evening, March 18th, beginning at 6:30 p.m., the Lenten and Easter portions of Handel's Messiah at College Church, Grand and Lindell. Call 314-652-BACH today.
St. Anthony's addresses matters of the heart with free screenings for you. St. Anthony's Medical Center is offering the community the opportunity to participate in Matters of the Heart, a morning of health screenings, exhibits, demonstrations, and expert advice from medical specialists. Matters of the Heart will be from 8 a.m. until noon, Saturday, March 10th, at the Highland Education and Training Center, 10,020 Kennerly Road, on the campus of St. Anthony's.
I am a Christian of the Baptist denomination who listens to your show from time to time when I am in the car. I mostly hear issues, etc., but my question is this. I have problems properly distinguishing law and gospel from time to time, although I know there is a distinction thanks to KFUO. So is there a good book or one or more of your radio programs that spell it out for this mostly illiterate law and gospel listener to learn the distinction? And that's from Troy, and let me respond to that here on AM 850 KFUO. First of all, let me say, if you listen to Monday's broadcast, we're going to do some of that law and gospel distinguishing because of my opinion that most of the parables in the Bible are misnamed. Here's a parable about Jesus, the shepherd, finding a lost sheep, and what's the name of the parable? The Lost Sheep. And if you were with us 2 weeks ago, we now call it the Rejoicing Shepherd. Why? Well, tune in Monday and you'll hear about another parable. We're going to start off with the one that is normally referred to as the Persistent Widow. That's on Monday's Law and Gospel. If you would like to phone up, our numbers here are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address at lawgospel@kfuo.org. And you don't have to phone up on a subject that we're talking about, any subject at all, because this is Open Line Friday. Friday, March the 9th. Let's respond to Troy. Is there a good book or one or more of your radio programs that spell it out for this mostly illiterate law and gospel listener. Now, let me say this first of all, is that most of us are illiterate when it comes to law and gospel, and I put myself in that category. I know I've been doing a program for now going on to 11 years called Law and Gospel, but why do I think that I'm illiterate? In this sense, that you never stop learning this. It just is constant. You never get it to a point where you can finally say, I've got it. Because if you're a true law and gospel believer, you would never sin by thought, word, or deed. But we continue to do so. So this is always something we struggle with. And we learn more what is not proper law and gospel sometimes than what is proper law and gospel. But without further ado, the best book that I have been suggesting people to get is not the book I have written. In fact, I just wrote a second book. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But the best book, bar none, is God's No and God's Yes by, well, it's by C.F.W. Walther. The editor is a man named Pieper, P-I-E-P-E-R. But it's really Walther's many, many lectures he gave back in the 19th century on how pastors confuse law and gospel in their preaching. He's got 21 ways in which law and gospel is confused. I think that that book, bar none, is the best. In fact, you can get the larger book, which is called The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel. It has many of the quotations from the church fathers and a lot more Bible verses in it. The book I'm talking about, God's No and God's Yes, is a summary of that larger book. Now, my own book, we've just finished writing the second one. The first one is 10 Weeks of Just Words. The second one is called 10 Weeks of More Just Words. And we borrow from Dr. J.A.O. Price's book on just words, which simply means here is the way that God uses justification in 20 different ways. Justification can be likened to a birth or rebirth. And there are 20 ways in which it is likened, and we've done two books on it, expanding it with a lot of material, not only from this program over the past 10 years, but particularly from the greatest publication you can get, that is a magazine, and that is Good News. Good News put out by the Good News Group that are here in St. Louis. If you're in St. Louis, you want subscription to it, it's 645-1919. But those of you who are listening long distance, you can call their offices Monday to Friday during the daytime at 1-800-778-1132. 1-800-778-1132. And their most recent one on teaching is, once more, hits a home run. These are just wonderful publications. Once you get one of them, you'll want all, what are they, 25, 26 issues now on all different topics. And by the way, there are those that are entitled Law and Gospel. So that would be another good one. By the way, you can access any of this by simply going to my webpage at lawgospel.com. You can get to the blog there. You can get to the products page. You can listen to AM 850 KFUO radio. And you can even email me. But you can't buy any hamburgers. Oh, okay. That's right. Can't buy hamburgers. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're moving on to talk to Jane in Arnold. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Pastor Tom. And I promise I didn't know what you were going to be saying before I came on. But I called to talk about the Good News magazine.
Oh, you're kidding.
I told my friend Cindy from South County this morning, I said, I've got to call Pastor Tom. And for the man who is a Baptist, as most people that listen here and hear my big mouth know that I was a Baptist, this one about the Word, about teaching, and it goes into God's Word, is the most awesome thing. And there are 27, but the first two are out of print that you can get. And I have them all, and I give them as to people that I know that are, you know, needing to know things on all these different subjects. But I cannot do the whole magazine at one time. I do one, because each page is a different section. I do that page in a day, and then I meditate on it. It's just too much. It's too good to just skim over. But that, and I said I wanted to kiss Wallace Schultz's feet, and my friend Cindy said,
his wife is listening.
But then I said, well, maybe Pastor Tom's too, because he works on. I mean, it is just the most. Every Christian needs it. Everyone. Because we're kind of in an age of just a little bit of knowledge of the Bible. I don't know if that, do you get that feeling? Illiterate Christian.
Yeah, after 11 years, I get it more and more every day.
Oh, and I'm talking about myself, you know, it's just the most awesome thing. So I told Cindy, I said, I'm calling today. I've got to tell Pastor Tom. So I called, and what are you talking about? Good news while I'm waiting.
And remember what one of the first articles is, beginning on page 7, the radical nature of the Christian faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the paintings in there and the drawings just make it come so clear.
Well, a number of them come actually from museums. I'm looking at one on St. Augustine, where he's baptizing Bishop Ambrose in Milan, and it's from the Church of St. Stephen in Jerusalem, Israel. With Eric Lessing, Art Resource New York. You see, a lot of people have asked us to put this on the internet, and we can't do it because we do not have permission, copyright permission, to put these things on the internet. So
because
the only way that you can get it is to actually get the publication. But it's only $15, and you get three or four of them.
It is the most worth it money that anyone learned. But I do not have an internet, so I can't get your books. Is there another way?
Well, yes. You can just phone me and give me your over the phone. You don't have to do it over the radio here. My home phone number is 314-395-5050.
Okay,
50. Yeah, 395-5050.
That's pretty good. Okay. And I promise this is not a paid commercial.
No, it's not, but I appreciate you calling, Louise. Jane. I'm sorry. It's Jane and Arnold, yes.
Okay. Goodbye.
I don't know why I was thinking about my wife right now. Okay. Yeah, well, we don't want any kissing here going on the radio, including with Wallace Schultz. You know, I find this again and again. I'm talking about one subject, and many of you are on the line all set to talk about it because these things fit. As I indicated, the publication, Good News, put out by Wallace Schultz and his group over here in St. Louis. As is said, 25 issues are available because issues 1 and 2 haven't been reprinted yet, but there are 27 full issues. And when you get the magazine, by the way, you will be able to open it up, and there's a form in it which tells you how to get all the past issues. And it's very inexpensive to get past issues, you can only just get one copy of each one, or some congregations are getting multiple copies, and they now have boards up where the people can come in and get the issues. I'm encouraging, though, the one on baptism, that every church buy 100 copies and give that out to sponsors or people who are at the baptismal party. Do you know what a wonderful evangelism tool that would be on baptism? And it's very inexpensive. It costs, when you get it in bulk like that, it's about a dollar each. So if you order 100 copies, and remember, let me give out the numbers right now. Again, in St. Louis, 645-1919. But then toll free, 1-800-778-1132. By the way, how would you like to come to a free meal that is going to be thanking the Good News publication, as well as talking about other work that we do in Concordia Mission Society, where I am the director of development, missionaries overseas and medical vans. It is the Sunday after Easter. The Sunday after Easter. The meal is free. It's going to be held at the Royal Orleans in South St. Louis. And would you like to come? You just phone this number, 645-1919. Or toll free 1-800-778-1132 and simply tell how many people are coming. That's all you need to do. And then they'll tell you where the address is and when to show up. It's about 5:30 that Sunday afternoon. You're listening to Law and Gospel, and I'm here on AM 850 KFUO Friday, March the 9th, 2007. And we're taking a look at emails, and you can phone me at 505-7850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727 or email address lawgospel@kfuo.org. Our next email is from Larry, who is responding to one of our callers who talked about that when we believe in Christianity, we don't have to suspend our minds. That is, we don't have to stop being intellectual. And I kind of questioned that, and it looks like Larry is questioning it also. So let me read what he has to say. I indeed do believe that we suspend our minds. According to our natural reasoning and evidence, that would have to convince some is depending on human reason rather than faith. I remember something that Luther said in the Small Catechism, I cannot, by my own reason, believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord or come to him. Rather, it is through the enlightening of the Holy Spirit that we believe. Now, he has a little bit more to say, and I'll continue, but I want to re-stress what was just said. It's just wonderful when a caller reminds me what I already have made an oath upon, namely the Confessions of the Lutheran Church. This is Luther's explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the new 1986 translation, this is how it is stated. This is Luther's explanation about believing in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Quote, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Now, though this meaning of the third article was spoken against the typical Roman Catholic theology of that day, it also speaks strongly against the typical evangelical theology of today. Because it says very clearly that by our own reason or strength, we cannot come to him, even. So we can't invite Christ into our heart. If he's there, it's totally the work of God. But this is the one I want to emphasize that Larry reminded me of, that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ. So I ask, why are so many people spending so much time in trying to give a reason for our faith that has evidence from outside the Scripture? I don't think it's really part of the evangelism task at all. Now, some people will say it's part of the pre-evangelism task, that there are some people, let's say an evolutionist, we'll just take that as an example, and he says, it's just impossible that the Bible is right. I'm not going to listen to you. So then you sit down and show him that from a scientific point of view, not using the Bible at all, but from a scientific point of view, it's actually easier to believe in creationism than it is in evolution. You see, I think that's possible. I think the arguments are that persuasive. You don't even have to be a believer. Just like in the pro-life movement. You don't have to turn somebody into a believer to come to the conclusion that what they once thought was okay, namely abortion, is now wrong. Agnostics, Muslims, unbelieving Jews, atheists, there are many who are pro-life and have been persuaded to be so, just on the basis of reason. So I think that's important, that in the temporal kingdom, when we're talking about morality, it is good to use reason and logic and evidences as to why the human being in the womb is a person, a full person. Now, when I say full person, what I mean by that is when the individual in the womb is 1 week old, he is as fully a person as when he becomes 80 years old. He's not just partially a person, he's fully a person. I think that kind of argumentation is good. It has no impact on whether somebody will become a Christian, and it ought to stay in the realm in which it is meant to stay in, namely in the realm of morality. Now, if you have some Christians who are pro-abortion, then they need to hear this also. But as part of evangelism and bringing someone to faith, I don't think there's any connection at all, because the evidences for the pro-life movement really come from outside the scripture when you're talking to an unbeliever. Now, once you're talking to a believer, you can start using scripture, the fifth commandment, the law, to show people that. And examples from John the Baptist as a person in the womb, leaping for joy, even before he was born. So that's all well and good. In the same way, when I'm speaking out against when the so-called bones of Jesus are discovered, I think we need to be limited in our scope. I think we need to give the evidence why they can't be the bones of Jesus, if there is such evidence. Because I think there can be a time when we're not going to be able to dissuade people. However, it won't matter for the Christian, because we live by faith, not by evidence. Then why are we taking time to try and give the evidences? Well, for two reasons. Sometimes there may be somebody who just refuses to hear the message at all, because he thinks the Bible is ridiculous. Now, I'm not sure that you can get him to a point where he no longer thinks the Bible is ridiculous to listen to the message. I think what really happens, that in showing the Bible is not ridiculous, you keep giving Bible verses. And the Bible verses, apart from any evidence, is what really truly converts. Now, don't ask me why. I have no idea how God can take words, not even in Greek and Hebrew, they can be in English. I mean, you can actually say to somebody, well, the reason we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, now there's two ways to say this. I'll give you the second way first. The reason we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead is because we are told that he died, and 3 days later, we have lots of witnesses who saw him rise from the dead. Or you can say, the reason I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead for your sins is because the Bible says so. I think both ways are able to convert someone. But you don't need to talk about the evidences from the scripture. You just say the word of God. That is to say, whether you give two or three Bible verses about Jesus Christ dying and rising from the dead, or whether you give 100, it really doesn't matter. The more you give doesn't make the message more effective. Because what you're dealing with is an unbeliever, and we're talking about coming to faith. So an unbeliever is actually dead in his thinking processes in regard to the true God. He has no ability to be persuaded. We are not trying to persuade someone why they should believe in Jesus Christ. We are simply telling the story, giving the good news, proclaiming the gospel, and the Holy Spirit takes those words and does all the persuading. My task is only one, that I preach the Word of God in its purity. So, I would follow Pastor Ostermeyer last Sunday, that you can download, by the way, on KFUO.org, Hope St. Anne, late service, Sunday, March the 5th. I would follow him, where when he was speaking against this ridiculous film, I would never mention anything that really was against the film. I would simply preach the Word of God, that we know they couldn't possibly have found the bones of Jesus, because the Bible says he rose from the dead. And if there is someone who is not convinced by the Word of God, then I'm dealing with somebody with weak faith. and I'm going to have to go to something inferior to put down their old Adam's thoughts. And so there is a place, there's no doubt about it, where we need to criticize and show foolishly that this film is ridiculous. But that's because this film is ridiculous. What happens when we find somebody who's doing some movie about finding the bones of Jesus and we are not able to show that it is ridiculous? And see, it wouldn't bother me at all. Because I would either put it into the category that this is a miracle of the demons that God permitted to test our faith, or that our science isn't up to date enough to show how foolish it is. The fact of the matter, and that was my point for the last 2 days, there's absolutely nothing that the world can throw at the Christian to have us doubt what we believe. And when we do doubt, it's because we are fallen into sin and we need to hear the law. O ye a little faith. And it happens to all of us. I mean, we all have little faith, or else we would never sin. So I count myself in with the rest of you. But it's just in this particular area, when it comes to the historicity of the Bible, I don't know why, but I have never heard anything that would move me to doubt the Bible. And the more I think about it, it's not because I haven't heard things that are pretty persuasive. It's that I have been given a faith in the correctness of the Bible that just doesn't move. And maybe it's the way I was brought up, because my parents sure had that faith, or the church I was in. But that's a part of my faith that I don't have any trouble with. Are there other parts of faith I have problems with? Absolutely. Like sin. I mean, that's terrible. That's why every Sunday I confess with the rest of the congregation that I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. See, people have different temptations from the devil. I'm just saying that one of mine is not doubting the words of Scripture. Maybe if one of yours is, then those last 2 days may have helped you in this way. Don't worry about whether somebody can give you evidence against these ridiculous notions of finding the body of Jesus. You really don't need it. All you need is what? All you need is God's truth. I'm Tom Baker. When we get back from the break, we're continuing with Open Line Friday. And so you can call us here at 505-7850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address at lawgospel@kfuo.org. I've got a letter that I'm going to start off the hour with, but then we'll open up the phone lines. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.